This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
A few years ago, a man wrote a book. His name is Richard Wiseman. He wrote a book called The Luck Factor. The idea of The Luck Factor was to scientifically prove that you could actually gain more luck than if you were an unlucky person. So they found 80 people who were willing to admit that they were very unlucky people, and they put them through what he called luck school. And he was training them to be luckier people. And it came down to things like maximizing different opportunities. That opportunities would come along, you do something different. Maybe you were stuck in a rut, so try something different. And one of them I thought was interesting. He said, you need to think optimistically. You need to think like, how do lucky people think? Well, lucky people think, hey, it's going to turn out great. And then also when things are bad, that you would look for the good. So it's interesting that of these 80 people, almost every one of them said that they had increased in their luck by 40%. I don't know how in the world you measure that. But, you know, if you'd have won the lottery, I'm all ears and I'm listening. But I thought it was interesting that people want to improve their luck. But I think sometimes we've looked at the blessings of God the same way. You know, how can I see more of the blessings of God? Maybe we look at someone else and go, well, they obviously won the spiritual lottery and I did not. And I just see God's blessings on their life. But here's what we're going to find out this morning. I want to show you that there's a correlation actually between some of the things that we do and God's blessings in our life. In fact, in the Bible, you see it all through there, that there is a correlation. This morning, I want to talk about this. Blessed are those who honor God. Blessed are those who honor God. Now, honor is to show respect and great esteem. We just did that just a moment ago. We showed respect and esteem for the men and women who've served our country. That's honoring. And honestly, you see that, I think, more in the military than you see it maybe in any other area. And it's good to honor those who have sacrificed and those who have served. I think it's good for us to honor our police and firemen and our first responders, those who put their lives on the line for us. So that's showing honor to that group. There's another group we need to show honor to, and that's, and this is, again, biblical. It's showing honor to those who are in authority. In fact, the Bible says to pray for those who are in authority, and it doesn't mention whether or not you happen to be aligned with them politically or not. It just said, pray for them. All of our leaders need our prayers. And I realize that with authority, that sometimes there are abuses in authority. It's made people a little nervous about that. A farmer a number of years ago was sitting on his front porch when he saw this car come down his driveway, just flying down his driveway, dust all flying up behind it. Very nondescript looking four-door sedan. And a young man steps out. He must have been early 20s, had his white starched shirt on, had his suit on. And he strode very confidently right up to the farmer. He said, my name is Agent Jackson, I am with the FBI. And the farmer came down off the porch, shake his hand. And he said, we are looking for some fugitives in the area and I need to check through your fields. And the farmer said, well, son, that's fine. He said, but don't go in that field right there. He pointed to a field. And man, that was the wrong thing to say to Agent Jackson. He reached in his pocket and he whipped out the badge, that FBI badge. He put it right at about 2 inches in front of that farmer's nose. He said, do you see this badge? Do you see this badge? This badge means I go wherever I want to go and I don't have to ask anybody. Do you see the badge? And the farmer said, yes, sir, I see the badge. And immediately, Agent Jackson went right to that field that the farmer told him not to go to. And about 5 minutes later, farmer hears a scream. He looks up and Agent Jackson is, his tie's flying in the wind. He is picking him up and putting him down. And right behind Agent Jackson is the farmer's huge prize bull who is gaining some steam on this boy the whole time. And the farmer runs to the fence. He stands up on the fence and he yells to Agent Jackson, your badge, show him your badge. Authority can be, we need to pray for those who are in authority. The Bible talks about honoring, and it talks about children obeying their parents, and it said, honor your mother and father, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. So it actually, the Bible said, honoring our parents is the first commandment with the promise. So there's the promise, if we honor, show great respect, great esteem for. And then husbands are actually instructed to honor their wives. Peter, who was married, wrote that husbands should dwell with their wives according to with understanding, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Didn't say she was the weaker vessel. It says as a weaker vessel. It said that your prayers are not hindered. And so actually there's a blessing for those of us who are married, for men, if we treat our wives with honor and respect, it keeps an open heaven. It keeps our prayers from being hindered. So there's honor with God. God's big on honor. And the Bible talks about honoring God. And there's another word that we often see synonymous with honor, and that's the word fear. Now, when we think of fear, we think of, I'm afraid. No, no. When the Bible talks about fear, it talks about revering God, a great esteem for God, a great respect for God. Look at this verse in Psalms 112 chapter. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Now, remember last week, if you were here last week, we talked about that blessings are not just when you say nice things to somebody, that there is an element of where you can bless. As fathers, as parents, we can bless our children with saying good words about them and saying kind words. We bless our employees. We can bless people around us. But when God blesses, it's not just good words. It's an empowerment. And when we see God's blessings on someone, it's not just, oh, God has said nice things about me. No, it's an empowering. And it says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord. Well, that word revere, respect, honors the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments, delights greatly in his word. In fact, if you'll read that whole 112th Psalm, it is a psalm that is really talking about the people who are blessed. And it said, your children are going to be strong. There's going to be abundant resources in your home. There's going to be light in the darkness. In fact, because you have an honor and a trust for God, even when things get negative and things go wrong, it says you're not afraid. Your heart is fixed, trusting in God. That's a wonderful thing. And the blessings, who do they come to? Well, they come to those that honor God, who honor his word, who esteem him and respect him. There's a baseball. If you're a baseball fan, you've heard the name Ichiro. Remember Ichiro played for the Seattle Mariners. He's an outstanding hitter. Led the majors in hitting number of years. He wasn't a power hitter, but man, he just hit all the time, got on base. Well, Ichiro, who was born in Japan, treated his bats very differently. You know, the bats that he used, he just didn't grab a bat. His bats were special. In fact, he treated them like you would treat a Stradivarius violin. His bats were made on a certain island in Japan that comes from a certain wood. They were black. They were treated a certain way, and they were special. He didn't throw them in a canvas bag. He had a special suitcase built for his bats. And this suitcase was a dehumidifying suitcase and shock resistant. So if he dropped it, those bats weren't going to be hurt. And so these, in fact, he even had little pellets in the suitcase that would absorb moisture from the bat. And you're thinking to yourself, man, that's ridiculous that you would spend that much, you know, that you would just treat your bats like this. But he said in Japan, and probably some of that samurai mentality, we treat, he said, our possessions like our bats and our gloves. He said, we treat them so importantly. And I won't say that how he treated his bat helped his batting average. It might have helped him mentally. But I thought if Ichiro can treat his bats like they're valuable, how much more can we treat our Heavenly Father and his word like he is valuable, like he is special, like he is important? And that if we will do that, if we'll honor and revere him, there are blessings that come in our life. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. In the Bible, there's a great story of this. And it's the story of four young men who really honored God in the middle of a hostile culture, and yet God blessed them. See, a lot of times people think, well, if I can just get to the right environment, if I can just get to a perfect place, if I can just work for a Christian corporation, if I can just have this, if I can get my family fixed because I married the wrong person, and so if I could just marry the right person, then everything would be. No, when you said I do, you just got the right one right there. And people are oftentimes just looking, if I could just get everything perfect. These guys were in the middle of probably the most hostile cultures you're going to find, and yet God was able to bless them. So here's the fact. God's blessings override your environment. How do you do that, though? You're familiar with their names. If I said Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I know those guys. They were from Jerusalem. They were in Jerusalem when the nation of Israel had turned against God. And in, every time Jerusalem and the nation turned against God, they always got in trouble. And they lost their protection. They lost their help. And they never quite figured out that God was the reason they were successful as they were. They turned against him and they were captured by the Babylonians. Babylonians were a major empire. And they took them from Jerusalem and they carried them captive almost 800 miles, if you go straight direct, to what's now in modern, a little bit south of modern day Iraq, which was the capital of Babylon. And Babylon was a major force. They had conquered everyone. So here are these young men. They're now captives. They're now slaves to the Babylonians. But they noticed they were being treated differently. Because what they did was, the Babylonian king was very smart. He would cherry pick the sharpest, the brightest, the best from every nation that he conquered. He would train them up in the Babylonian way and then often send them back to rule over those areas. So here he is with Daniel and his three friends. Actually, they were called Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That was their given names. And they come in and they got a good deal. Everyone else is going to go farm or build or serve some way. And they said, hey guys, we got a sweet deal for you. We're going to give you a scholarship, a 3-year scholarship to an Ivy League school. And that's really what it was. That when you come out of here, you're going to have a job. We're going to train you in the Babylonian ways. We're going to feed you Babylonian foods. We're going to get you cultured up. And when you leave, man, you're going to have a great job. You won't be busting rocks like the rest of these slaves. You're going to have a great job. But there were some catches to it. And as you begin to read that, they realized that they also wanted to separate these young men from their relationship with God. Let's read the story. Now from among those, the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. They gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. They were in a culture that was anti-God, yet they remained connected to God. One of the first things you see what the Babylonians did was they changed their names. Daniel, all of them had names that involved the name of God. I believe Azariah's name meant the Lord is gracious. Daniel's name meant God will judge. But when they gave them names, they gave them different names. They gave them names that took away the remembrance of their God and gave them the Babylonian God. Belteshazzar means Baal protect him. Baal was the Babylonian God. So their attempt was, we're going to pull you away from everything that connects you with God, and we're going to change your names. But you notice in that chapter, Daniel's name doesn't change. The three Hebrew, his friends, their names don't change. In terms of their perspective is, you may call me a different name, but this is who I am. They stayed with that. But then they had another problem. That the problem was that they were going to force them to eat foods that the Jewish law said was unclean. In the Old Testament, the Jews had laws about food that they could eat and not eat. If you go back and look at it, some of it is brilliant because it keeps them away from pork. You realize if pork goes bad, it goes really bad. And if you eat it, buddy, you can really get sick. So they weren't eating pork. But evidently, some of the food that the king had, he had all this wine, and he probably had bacon and ham sandwiches and pork chops. And they were having all this food. They're like, the Bible said Daniel purposed in his heart, he's not going to defile himself with that food. That was against the law of his God. And so Daniel, man, he didn't want to do that. Now that had to be a sacrifice too, because he's saying, hey, we don't want to do that. Would you give us vegetables and water? I don't know about you, but you know, now I realize some of you are vegetarians. And if you are, God bless you. That's wonderful. But honestly, I could do just give me meat and more meat and then more meat after that. And then dessert, and we're good, all right? So, but you, I don't know, there's something about when you smell bacon cooking, that smells real, real good. Smells a whole lot better than broccoli. I can just tell you that right now. Could you imagine these guys are eating, and they're sitting down to eat, and all of a sudden, you got the pork chops, and we got the ham sandwiches, and then, oh, Daniel, here's some squash, and some broccoli, and a glass of water. These guys are drinking wine, they're eating good. I bet they're looking at Daniel and his friends going, I wouldn't want to be eating what you're eating. But Daniel stayed connected to God. He stayed connected. Even though he's in a foreign culture, he stayed connected. And I love how Daniel handled himself. The Bible said God had brought him into favor with a good one. You know, favor is when, you know, God can actually cause people to like you and they don't even know why they like you. They like Daniel. They just like Daniel. This guy just liked Daniel. But Daniel didn't violate that by being a jerk. Daniel just said, please, sir. You know what I'm saying? He said, please, sir. He wasn't demeaning. He wasn't demanding. He worked with the favor of God as opposed to against it. And then you see God's blessings on these guys. He said, you've given us a test for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, now listen, you know this had to be a miracle. At the end of the 10 days, the Bible said that their flesh appeared fairer, okay, and fatter. You eat broccoli and squash and drink water for 10 days, and you're going to be fatter than the guy eating pork chops, bacon, and drinking wine? That's a miracle right there. They look better. And not only did they look better, the Bible said that God gave them wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Not just in biblical stuff. He gave them knowledge and skill in Babylonian learning. So even though they're in a foreign culture, God helped them in that culture. And not only that, his God's blessings caused these young men to stand out. Look what happened when they graduated. The king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in his realm. 10 times better. Now you say, you're not 10 times smarter. God's blessings can cause you to stand out. How do you live blessed in a world that doesn't honor God? How do we live blessed? Listen, guys, we're living in a culture that's different. Here's one of the first things. We have to purpose to live different than the culture, not dominated by the culture. We live in a culture that more and more, it's okay to mock God. It's okay to claim I'm an atheist and I hate Christians. It's okay to do that. And that's the day that we're living in. And yet we can still keep our connection with God. Here's one of the ways we can keep our connection. We still continue to honor Him, but here's another way. We don't have to accept the new names they try to put on us. If you're a Christian, oftentimes people will try to put, oh, you're a Christian. Well, that means you're bigoted, you're hateful, you're intolerant, you're a fanatic. And what they're trying to do is when they put those labels on you, and if you'll accept those, I don't want to be that way. They're trying to separate you from our God. It's like, oh, no, that's not me. I had some people one time that told me, you know, Alan, you don't want to go too far with this God stuff. No, that's exactly where I want to go. I want to go real far with this God stuff because I'm not saying you got anything that's really working. I want to go with God. But I had a guy one time I had to pray for at a business function. They asked me to pray. I was pastoring at the time. They asked me to pray. I knew the people. They were friends. And I said, yeah, I'll pray. I got up to pray, and just before I did, one of my friends, who's a believer, who called me, he said, Alan, he said, we got a lot of Jewish people here. He said, don't pray in Jesus' name. I went, what? He went, don't pray in Jesus' name. I wasn't too diplomatic then. I just looked at him and said, well, you pray then. I'm not praying. He said, oh, he just got mad. I think he got convicted. He said, oh, just do what you want to do. I said, all right, go. So I prayed. Now, I prayed. I didn't do what my pastor did when they asked him not to pray in Jesus' name one time. My pastor said, I pray Jesus over everything. Jesus over the plates, Jesus over the forks, Jesus over the knives, Jesus over the spoons. I was probably a little more diplomatic than he was. But the whole idea is you don't want to go far with this. You don't want to be this. Listen, no, I don't accept those labels. And if the world won't label you, how about the labels off and they're put on us by other people? Maybe somebody called you unlovable. Maybe someone called you, I can't live with you. Maybe someone says you're broken or you're dysfunctional or you can't function. Listen, they'll try to put all kinds of labels on you. You don't have to accept those labels. You don't have to accept. Now, I'm going to give you a great verse right here. 1 John 1:5-4 says, everyone born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. So when they try to say, oh, well, you're broken, or you're just weak, or you're dysfunctional, you want to go, oh, no, no, you got that wrong. You say, I'm born of God, and you forgot. Here's what I actually am. I'm the loved. I'm the forgiven. I'm the strong. I'm the cleansed. I'm the free. I'm the blessed. That's the name I hang on to. And so you begin to hang on to that name. You realize in Christ, man, we've got some great things said about us. That's what I stay connected to. And even in the middle of a negative culture, I can stay connected to God. Here's the second thing. Honor God and your relationship with Him. You honor God by acknowledging Him. We acknowledge our Veterans Day. What do? We honor them. We acknowledge them. We honor God by acknowledging Him. You did that today when you came. Maybe you do that in worship. You can do that every day. And just thank Him and praise Him. What are you doing? You're honoring Him. You're being a blessing to Him. And here's another thing, too. Purpose in your heart that you're going to live clean before Him. Clean before Him. Here's a great verse. It's in Corinthians. It says, because we have these promises, God's promises to be with us and to live in us, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. Let us work toward complete holiness or Christ-likeness because we fear, because we honor God. You know, there are a lot of stuff in this world. Now, listen, today we live in a new day. We don't live under the old covenant, and so your food is not what brings you closer to God. So in other words, you're not closer to God if you eat cheeseburgers and french fries than you are if you eat broccoli and drink water. Now, if all you eat is cheeseburgers and french fries, you may see Him quicker than the guy who's... But you're not going to be closer to Him. It's not food. But you realize there are things that you can take in that can absolutely just defile you. There's things that we simply have to say no to. When I married Joy, I said no to every other woman. There are things that the internet is constantly bombarding us with things that can defile and contaminate. And so there's things that we just simply say, no, I'm not going that way. Is it easy? No, it's not always easy. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. But I tell you what, it sure is better living clean. You ever been around someone too, just negative and they're talking about people and running people down? When you leave their presence, do you ever look to yourself and go, wow, that was a blessing. How refreshing that was. No. Sometimes you will go, wow, I just felt like I got thrown up on. And so sometimes we just say, no, hang on. Don't want to hear it. And let me add one more thing to this. As we're honoring God, I really believe that, especially in this culture we're living in today, we can be people who are honorable towards other people, even the ones we don't agree with. There's a lot of hate going on. And the political parties, you can't just be a Republican or Democrat. You're the enemy. And there's hate. And I really believe we can live as honorable people, even though there are people who disagree with us, even though people, other denominations don't like us, we can still be honorable. We can be honorable before God. Daniel was honorable. He said please, and he wasn't demeaning. I can believe we can be the very same way. Tell you a story I thought was just a great example of that. In December of 1943, right in the middle of World War II, there was a German fighter pilot by the name of Franz Stigler. Franz Stigler was almost, he was an ace. He was about to win the Knight's Cross. I believe it was the highest German award that he could win. And over Germany, he came up on a bomber airplane that was piloted by a man named Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown was an American, and he was trying to get back into England. And when Franz Stigler came up, one more plane, and he would win that award, that medal. But when he came up, he saw that there was no guns. In fact, some of the fuselage was just the skin of the airplane had been sheared away. And inside, he could see that there were these terrified young men taking care of their wounded. Nobody was shooting at him. Franz Stigler had been raised with the thought that honor was everything. And his superior officer said, the way you're going to come out of this, if you survive this war, the best way to come out is to treat people with as much humanity, to fight it with as much humanity as you can. And when Franz Stigler saw the condition of this plane, he decided not to shoot it down. He pulled up next to Charlie Brown and motioned to him to land, Charlie, land the plane. But Charlie was not going to land his plane in Germany. So Stigler yelled out, "Sweden." But he could tell Charlie Brown did not understand what he was trying to say. So finally, he said, Franz Stigler saluted Charlie Brown and said, "You're in God's hands." And he peeled off. Charlie Brown landed his plane. He made it all the way back to England. He stayed in the Air Force for 2 decades. But that incident, what happened to him, just obsessed him. And he took out an ad in a fighter magazine. Evidently, there's a magazine for fighter pilots. He said, "Who was the man that allowed me to live?" It said December 20th, 1943, over Germany, and he gave some of the details. Franz Stigler was now living in Vancouver when he picked up that magazine and read the ad. And he yelled to his wife, "It's him. I found him." And they had a very emotional phone call, and they became the best of friends. In fact, both of them are Christians. Both of them were believers in the Lord Jesus. They died within 6 months of one another, and each one listed the other as his special friend and brother. Now, here's my point. If Franz Stigler, in the middle of a war, can be honorable and not shoot down someone else, can't we, as representatives of the Lord Jesus, as his ambassadors, can't we stop shooting other people that don't agree, and if we lived honorable before them? It's a great way to live. Here's our last one. If you'll honor God, blessings follow. Blessings follow honor. They don't precede it, they follow it. And so if you'll honor God, the blessings can touch every area of your life. You say, can they touch your business? Absolutely. Can they touch your parenting skills? Absolutely. I've seen God give me favor, and I got jobs that no one ever thought I could get. I've seen God do amazing things, favor, skill, knowledge, insight. Listen, God's blessings, don't just limit them to church. Don't just limit them to reading your Bible. God's blessings can touch every single area of your life, and you can stand out with God's blessings. So what do you mean stand out? Well, I mean in a world that's hurting, when people think of stand out, they think of finances all the time. I'm going to stand out financially. Nothing wrong with that, and that can certainly happen. But you know what? When everyone around you is freaking out and you have peace, that's God's blessings causing you to stand out. When everyone around you is struggling and they don't know what to do and you get help, that's God's blessings causing you to stand out. When everyone around you is bewildered and just they're kind of wondering and you have insight and wisdom as to what to do, that's God's blessings causing you to stand out. This is years ago, I was driving my Yukon, and I was on Gosling Road, and I passed an apartment complex, and a guy came out with his truck and T-boned me. I felt like it was in slow motion. The car went sideways, and I just felt like slow motion, like I'm going upside down. And sure enough, I wound up upside down on the road. I unbuttoned my seatbelt. I got out. I was just very calm. The guy who hit me, he ran over and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor Allen." It was a church member that hit me. Oh, this brother needed more help than I did, man. But I sat down, I talked with him. We were okay. I sat down waiting for the police. The traffic is backing up. And little did I know that I had a neighbor who later on came to me. He said, "Man," he said, "I watched that whole thing." He said, "I watched you get hit. I watched the car flip over, the truck flip over." He said, "I watched you get out." He said, "I could not believe how peaceful you were. You were so calm. Everybody else was freaking out, and you were so calm." And I realized, I can tell you what, as soon as that thing hit me, I felt the peace of God. I felt like I was in a cocoon, and the peace of God, it just kept me. And when I got out, I'm good, man. I'm okay. I'm all right. We can always replace trucks. But what he saw was God's peace and God's blessings. And listen, in a world that needs it so desperately, God's blessings can cause you to stand out and you become wonderful advertisement for Him. Would you bow your head for a minute as we pray? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Please, no one leaving or moving will be out of here in just a moment. But if you came today and said, "Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. And in my heart, I know that." Or maybe you say, "Alan, I used to have a relationship with God, and I've walked so far away from Him, but today I want to come back." Or maybe you want to come to Him for the very first time. Listen, we're not going to ask you to stand up or walk an aisle, but we are going to give you an opportunity to pray. In fact, we're going to pray with you. But if that's you that I'm talking to, and you, it takes courage to do this, and it takes a level of humility. You say, I want to be sure of my relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him. I want to walk with Him again. Would you pray for me? If that's you that I'm talking to, would you just slip your hand up across this auditorium and say, Alan, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your hands. Anyone else? Great. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. But we're going to pray this prayer. In fact, we're going to pray it with you as a church family. Just to all join in and say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer, for those who've stepped out of darkness into Your marvelous light, and for those who've come back home. Thank You. You welcome them with open arms as we do. And Father, thank You for all of us. Thank You. You've been good to us. Help us honor You as individuals, as families, as a church. Help us bring glory to You and be great advertisement for You. We'll give You all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.